Greetings, wizards and sorcerers. I am Luigi the Paladin, and today we have a very special episode for you guys. It's our first episode in English because we have an international guest. I'll let him introduce himself.
Okay, my name is Davide Mana. I am a writer and game designer based in Italy. And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
And thank you very much for accepting our invitation. And with me today, you have our two other regular guests.
Hello, I am Alan the Viking.
And Snux.
Hello there.
Yeah, it is going to be very weird for us, I think. It's our first time recording in English, but...
It's going to be interesting, at least.
Yes, very interesting.
And today you're going to talk about this brand new scenario that just came up and became worldwide famous. I saw it on all my social medias, and I am very, very happy to talk about it in here.
Facebook, Instagram, and basically every news feed.
I saw it and I thought, oh man, this is so cool. We have to make a podcast about it. So I brought David, one of the game designers, to talk about the project Brancalonia. So, David, what is your role in the project?
Oh, I am one of the original individuals responsible of the basic idea. When we started, there was three of us. It was me, Mauro Longo, and Samuel Marolla. And we were just talking about what would be cool as a setting for... game, and here we are. And I am also the one of the persons responsible for the English version of the game. The game will come out both in Italian and English. So I am the one doing the translations and adaptation of the game.
Nice. Well, my Italian is very poor, although my name is Luigi. But I liked it a lot. Everything I read so far was a quick start, and so we're going to talk a little bit about it, how you guys are conducting your Kickstarter project, because it's a Kickstarter project, right?
Yes, we are midway in our Kickstarter project. It has still 9 days to go, and we are pretty happy and scared of the results.
Yeah, 126k.
Exactly, and it's beyond our wildest dreams, but it means we have to work hard to make everybody happy, of course. And yeah, it's weird, but good.
Great. That's great. So how many people are involved in the project?
Ooh, the core team is, I'm counting on my fingers. there's at least 8 people working on the text and images of the game, plus a huge number of guests, because as the origin of the concept is literary, we come from a series of stories and books. We invited Italian writers, and not just game designers, to contribute with scenarios or lore. And so in the end, I guess right at the moment, there's about 30 people working on it. This including all the fine guys that are taking care of the Kickstarter, of the marketing and the communication. We are a small army, really.
Wow, it's a lot of people working on it. It's great. It is so you guys are called the Acheron Books, right?
It's the first game from Acheron Books, because Acheron Books started as a standard publisher of fiction. Then we did a few game books, choose your own adventure sort of things. But Brancalonia is our first, it's the first role-playing game from Acheron Books, but most of the people involved have previous experience designing and producing role-playing games. So it's the first for the publisher, but not for the writers. We all have previous experiences in gaming. And we are all gamers, essentially.
I guess that's the most important thing that we can have in a project. People that is making it, developing it, that likes the game. Because nowadays we have some problems about some companies that are making games like purely for money and not like caring much for the public and the people that will consume it. So yeah, that's pretty good that you all are gamers and like RPG and role playing.
Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed.
we fight among us because we have different styles of gaming, and everyone wants to do it his way or her way, and so. It's a very dynamic process, the design of the game. Let's say dynamic, not violent.
It's a friendly argument.
Yes, we are very, very argumentative, but it's good because everyone brings different perspectives, different ideas, and so we are making a game that will hopefully appeal to a wide audience with different tastes and styles. That's part of the fun.
Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano, lasciatemi cantare, sono un italiano.
So let's talk a little bit about the scenario now. Like, what? How would you simply define what is Brancalonia?
Brancalonia is a low fantasy game. So you can expect little magic, not world-shattering magic, but a softer and more sneaky sort of magic. And
not a fireball.
Sorry?
Not a fireball.
No, let's say that fireballs are a bit extreme. And it is a setting that focuses on the lower classes. So you can expect characters from humble origins, dirty, ragged, not very brave, more interested in saving their own skin than in saving the world. we take our main ideas from Italian folklore and literature, and we wanted to focus on the lower classes, on the guys whose life is nasty, brutish, and short, because it's fun, really.
Yeah. Sure. You focus on the work class and how they suffered.
Yes, and how they tried not to suffer too much.
And how they tried to get advantage of everything. So low fantasy is one of my favorite styles of playing RPG, I'd say. Because you rely more on your king than in your super overpowered spells to solve your problems,
combos.
Right?
yes, in fact. It's the sort of game that requires smart players and smart characters.
Basically, when I heard the name, when I read the name Brancalonia, I reminded the movie, the Italian movie, L'Armata Brancaleone.
Exactly, yes. That's our patron saint, basically. Brancaleone was the spark that started everything.
Nice. Basically, rogues trying to be an army and trying to complete missions. That's fantastic.
Yes, exactly.
I love this movie.
It's a great movie. It's extremely funny, but it's also serious in certain themes, and it's really a classic. And we sat around the table and said, wouldn't it be fun to have a game like that? And also, even before that, it was, wouldn't it be fun to write fiction like that? And we started by writing fiction like that, and then we started the game.
Nice. And how you guys adapted the 5th edition to a low fantasy scenario?
Oh, first of all, we adopted one of the options that are in the 5th edition handbook, and so our game uses the gritty and realistic approach. So it's low-powered and very dangerous. It's very easy to get hurt in our game. Then we removed the classic fantasy races. The game is still fully compatible with 5th edition, so if the players would like to play an elf, go on, have fun. But in our setting, there are no classic fantasy races. No elves, dwarves, or hobbits. But we have our own, based mostly on Italian folklore.
Yeah, I've seen some, like, you have some new races about your traditional folklore. That is Dotato, Malebranche, Marionetta, Morgante, e Salvatico, right? So
yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, I quote by memory, but for instance, the Morgante is essentially a half giant. Imagine a guy 8 feet tall and wide in proportion.
It's like Hagrid from Harry Potter.
Yeah. Or if you prefer, it's like some characters that Bud Spencer used to portray in movies. A big appetite, likes fist fights, and is very hard to kill. The Marionetta, or the Marionette, is basically Pinocchio, is a living puppet built with magic wood. Then we have the so-called Dotati, which are people endowed with magical powers. Malebranche are somehow tainted by evil. They are our version of the tieflings. And then, the l'uomo selvatico, so the wild man. They are beast men or men living in the forest in communion with nature. And they all come from Italian folklore, but
it's very good to see, like, so your project just got like worldwide famous, and you can like introduce people to the Italian folklore, and I think that's awesome.
Yes, that's a great opportunity and a great responsibility, and but it's good because we have a wealth of legends, of literature that can be tapped for gaming, and so why not?
Basically, the geography of the world is also something fantastic because it's based on the real Italy, right? Like the Regno of Italia. So it's basically Italy, right?
It's Italy in the mirror.
Upside down.
If you look at the map, upside down. Yeah. Yes, and it is based on medieval Italy. So it's fragmented in a number of small states. And
yeah.
It's what remains of a once world-spanning empire. And the relics of the old empire are part of the lore of the game. We can also say that it is a sort of a historical fantasy, but very through a distorting mirror, through a fantasy lens.
I'm looking forward to play this.
So much.
Because we didn't get a chance to actually test it, but we definitely will.
Absolutely, we will.
I hope you'll have fun.
Because, I mean, it's more interesting for me. I guess for us, Brazilians, that we have families that came from Italy to Brazil a long time ago, and then we have a lot of Italian culture in our culture, so everything here is like, it's kind of familiar.
Of course, yes.
We have some questions about the main lore of Brancalonia. Like, you said about an old empire that I think it's the Roman Empire. So can you tell us about the development of the scenario?
So the history of our world is essentially that there was once this great empire that built huge and wonderful cities, and so on and so forth. Then the empire fell, and the kingdom, what we call the kingdom, broke up in a number of states that are each one styled on an Italian region. And we are using original folklore to create the atmosphere for these areas. There is an aristocracy that is described as rapacious and indifferent, and the lower classes have to fend for themselves because the knights and the princes are too busy bickering to take care of the nation. There is sort of a classic medieval church, but it is essentially a cult of the saints. We have steered away from religious themes. But a lot of Italian folklore is about the activities and the miracles of saints that can fly, that can cure diseases and so on. And so we have a big calendar filled with bizarre saints. And our game focuses on what we call the knaves, that are adventurers. They can be bandits, they can be traveling actors, they can be pilgrims, people that wander through the kingdom, trying to make a living and trying to survive the various menaces that they will meet along the way. And this is...
That's basically the new subclasses that you have in your system, right?
Oh, yes. We have a number of subclasses that are essentially...
11, if I recall correctly.
That are basically tweaks of the classic classes in the 5th edition, but we made them our own. Once again, giving them an Italian and traditional flavor. In this way, players that are familiar with classical D&D games or 5th edition games will not be too disoriented or too lost. They will still find the classes that they are used to, but they are different. They have a different flavor. They have different powers, of course, and skills. And they integrate much better in the setting.
Like for example, your wizard wouldn't be as powerful, or it would have a different kind of magic, or
no. in general, we have a level cap for the development of characters, to make sure that we do not get overly powerful characters. Our wizards are what I think are called edge wizards. They live in the countryside, they use a mix of true magic, simply magical tricks, and con games. There is much of their power is in fact boasting and cheating and trying to look much mightier than they really are.
Like those carnival magicians that take the bunny out of the...
Yes, exactly. You don't know if it's a trick or if it is true magic. The real powerful magicians and spell users in general are usually, in our game, the NPCs, and they are the dangerous kind of spellcasters. Just like you find in fairy tales and the folk tales, the wizard, the magician, the witch, they are the bad guys. But you can still play a spellcaster and have a lot of fun.
And I'm seeing here that you have also new monsters in the system, right? A new bestiary.
Yes, we have a not very large at the moment, but we are as the Kickstarter grows, we are adding features and creatures. We have a good selection of traditional monsters taken once again from folk tales or from literary works. In the quick start, there is an adventure that I wrote, which features a creature, sort of a river dragon, that is called the Bigatto or Bigat, that is from the Northern Italian folklore. And it is also the subject of a beautiful Italian fantasy novel called The Treasure of the Bigat, that was the main inspiration for the scenario. And it is a wonderful book, absolutely. And we hope that playing our game, our players will feel like exploring the books and the stories that inspired it, and the movies. To give you an idea about the creatures, right in this moment, there is a small war in the development team, because we need to decide if for the next level of the Kickstarter we will add rat people or cat people, because they are both part of our folklore scene, and so we have a team rats and a team cats that are currently trying to influence the development of the game. I prefer cats because playing a sort of Puss in Boots in an Italian flavored fantasy is a fun idea.
So I'm on the Kickstarter page right now. So your Macaronicon, it's your bestiary.
Yes. Bestiary, it's a companion book. So we have it features adventures, new creatures, new classes, in-depth description of a number of cities and places, new spells, equipment, stuff, ideas.
Yeah, I get it. a source book. Yeah.
Yes, it's an expansion, a source book. You can play it with the basic handbook, of course, but with the Macaronicon, well, it gets richer and deeper.
Okay, so the game is all about the knaves, the bands, and the companies. Can you explain our listeners about it?
Oh, yes. Knaves is the name that we give to our characters because they come from the wrong side of the tracks. As I said, they are wanderers, rogues, traveling jesters, low-class people.
It's what we in Brazil call vagabundo.
Yeah, exactly. Vagabondi in Italian, exactly. they work in bands. The name of your team is a band in the sense that maybe it could have some kind of official recognition. They could be a band of mercenaries, and they can be also part of companies. Companies are nationwide organizations that can be criminal organization, can be religious organization or academical organization. You can play a wandering student, for instance. So we have a three-tier structure that helps, hopefully, players and game masters to set the game, because your character, your knave, is not alone. He is part of a band, and his band is part of a larger structure. And so not only we have the advancement of the character with experience, but your band can acquire fame, can get a higher head prize if they are criminals. Criminals take pride in the fact that the reward for their capture goes up as they play. And all this is designed to help game masters and players to feel more connected to the setting and to the world.
Another thing I loved about the Quick Start is that you guys have a section only for tavern brawling.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's something that will happen a lot. And if you're playing with a band of knaves and people there, you know?
Yes, we have some extra rules, some rules, new rules for tavern brawls, improvised weapons, non-lethal damages, and also for tavern games. You can gamble, you can try to make a buck by cheating at cards or stuff like that. We devised some very simple rules to help players simulate this sort of situations that will be, hopefully, very common in our scenarios.
It feels like The Witcher, kind of.
Oh, yes, also.
It's a nice touch to the
yeah
to the system, I guess.
Once again, we are trying to make this as much flavored as possible in terms of our universe. We want the rules to reflect and integrate the setting, the scenario, so that players will feel immersed in our game.
So, what would be the next steps for you guys regarding your project? So right now you just got funded on the Kickstarter and you're probably sending books all over.
Yeah, we are trying to get out of the shock of the success of our Kickstarter, because we did not expect such a big success, and we are crazy for it. It means a lot for us, because we felt the interest for the game from a lot of directions. So the next steps will be fulfill all the promises of the Kickstarter, of course. So build the best game possible and deliver it in time. Then we would like, of course, to expand in other languages. We currently are covering Italian and English, but it would be fun to be translated also in other languages. And then, we'll probably rest for a while.
Yes.
And then I guess we will try and do something new and different in the same setting in order to surprise our fans. And I can't say anymore.
Okay. I mean, it's already a lot. You're saying that it was a shock, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
It was everything happened very fast, I guess.
It was very fast, and it was very complimentary towards us. This is the first game our publisher is doing, and to get such a response means that we really are doing something that people wanted. And this is great, of course. Because when we design a game, we always ask ourselves, but I am the only one that likes this stuff. Will anybody else be interested? And the Kickstarter was a very concrete way of learning that, yes, there's people interested.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, how long is this project going on? Like, when have you guys decided to start it, and how long have you been working on it?
First thing, the project started, as I said, with stories. Acheron Books published two anthologies called Zappa e Spada. It's essentially Spade and Sorcery. And that was the start of it all. And so it started in 2018. We have been working on this game since last summer, so the middle of 2019, developing the lore, deciding for game system, bickering about what to put inside and what to leave out, and watching old movies, of course, rewatching for the 100th time Brancaleone. And yes, it's 6 months of full time work on the project, but at least 2 years of build-up to get to the point where we are.
And do you guys have like any idea of when it's coming out for a definite edition?
Oh, this I do not know, because it is in the hands of the publisher, of course. And I don't know really how this whole pandemic thing will interfere with the work. But we hope to fulfill everything as fast as possible. But we also do not want to sacrifice quality for speed.
Yeah, for sure.
The time of delivery is critical, because Kickstarters sometimes become slow things, but we do not want to do that, because as I said, we are players. We have backed Kickstarters that left us hanging, and we do not want to do that. So we are working full time, and we are trying to make as fast as possible. I would like to be able to say, to tell you a date, but I don't have it at the moment, because as I said, it depends on the publisher.
But as long as you take your time, you do your best, it's gonna be awesome.
Let's hope so. Yes, we are working to make it three kinds of awesome, as they say. It's going on at a pretty fast clip, so hopefully it will be out sooner than later.
Let's hope so. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
So, Dave, thank you very much for being here. I loved our conversation. I guess we all could learn more about Brancalonia. And yeah, now I'm more excited to play this.
As we are working on the English version, we will probably set up online English language demo games. I will drop you a line if you like to participate.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, sure.
Sure.
We'd love it.
And really, as a thank you for this interview, because it's been fun, really, and a pleasure.
Do you guys have some social medias to share with us?
Oh, you can check out our Facebook and Instagram pages. Just look for Brancalonia. We are the only ones. And of course, check out the page of the publisher, Acheron Books. They also publish fiction in both Italian and English. So maybe if you want to see what Italians do in terms of fantasy and science fiction, we got it. Acheron Books is A-C-H-E-R-O-N. Like the one in the Conan books, if you know it, the Old Empire of Acheron.
All links will be in the post with the link to the quick start.
Thank you very much.
Again, if I guess this podcast will be in English, so we might have new followers from all around the world.
Let's hope so.
So if you liked what you hear so far and you enjoy this conversation, please don't forget to follow us on our social medias, both the Spellcast links and the Brancalonia links will be in the description, and follow us on your Spotify so we maybe do another podcast in English. Why not?
We're having some ideas to do it. So.
So again, Dave, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed our conversation, and best wishes for your project, and we'll probably have you here again.
It's been a pleasure, and thank again. It was good.
Marcello, what is it? What are you doing? Holding a pistol. Mamma mia, Marcello, that's not how you hold a pistol. What do you mean? This is how you hold a pistol. Alberto, come and look at Marcello. Mamma mia!
Greetings, wizards and sorcerers. No, let me see. Just a second. I have to do it again. I never did it in English. I'm thinking about how to do it. Sorcerers. That's how we pronounce it. We're not English speakers.
Do you guys consider Brancalonia as an old school Renaissance like, or just more like 5th edition classics like Forgotten Realms? And
we are this is a tricky question. We are using the 5th edition and we are trying to use it as much as possible out of the box. It's both a commercial decision and one of ease of use, of course. So we are not exactly old school Renaissance, but we are still in the D&D field.
That's cool. We've tried some old school Renaissance games, Brazilian games, and I think Luigi didn't like it because his character died in the first.
It was very
15
sad.
Minutes
and
of
I,
game.
The way I died was awful. So.
I see. Yeah, I'm not a great fan of old school Renaissance, simply because if I want to play all the D&D, I use all the D&D. I have a shelf load of handbooks and supplements.
Just I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh,
it happens. I remember. Yeah. So another thing I loved about the quick start is that you